Is this on? Yeah. Tell you what, I'll pray. That's a good idea. That's a good idea, isn't it? It is a good idea. Sometimes I get them. Lord God, I just thank you that you're a good God. I thank you that you never give up on us. I thank you, like that song says, you know the depths of our heart and you love us the same. You're amazing, God. And we just come to you this morning with open hearts to hear what you have to say. Oh God, I pray for hearts this morning to be open, to be healed, to be restored, to draw closer to you, Lord God, as we've looked at these pathways to draw closer to you. Lord God, I pray our hearts would be open to you, Lord God, to receive what you have for us and to draw closer to you, to know more of you, because that's what we long for, to see your glory, to see more of you in our lives, to be more whole people, to express more of you in our lives and to live in the wholeness and the fullness that you promised for us, and not where the enemies wanted to take ground in our lives. But Lord God, we want to claim that back and live in your promises and step into that land and step into the promises that you've got for us with hope and peace and joy for our future. In Jesus' name. So we're doing a series on created to relate. Yeah. Is that right? I don't know if I'd made that up. Andy made that up. And that was to look at different ways as we as people can connect to God in different ways. Isn't it? I haven't got a PowerPoint. Have we got that? We can just have that up on the background. I've not got a PowerPoint today. Shut them up, Dave.
Yes, don't
do much fun. Yeah, I'm dirty. And part of this was for us as speakers to maybe share ways that we connect with God and our pathways and how we do it, maybe. And then hopefully you can sort of look at that and think, maybe I could do that, I could try that sort of thing. When I looked at that and I thought, I felt like I look around to people in the church, who am I to tell you? I could learn so much more probably from you. There's people who've been Christians longer than me, some of the stalwarts of the faith, who could probably share their how they've kept on the path, kept on that walk and kept drawing closer to God, kept pushing on. But I thought, what can I say? It's about knowing who we are, isn't it? About who, that was part of it as well, wasn't it, Andy? Sure it was. Knowing who we are as ourselves. But before I really get into the talk, I just want to emphasize, it's a lifelong journey till we finally meet God himself, of learning to walk closer with him, learning to walk with him, learning how we are and how we connect with God, looking at our personality, as Andy talked about, introvert or extrovert, and how we have all have an individual relationship with God and learning how that works. And our relationship and just refining it. And so there's no pressure, you know, we get it wrong. We don't always do it perfect. Every time we pray, it isn't like an amazing time of, wow, the glory fell and I was on my face in tears. And every time we read our Bible and every time we go for a prayer walk, it was life-changing. You know, it's peaks and troughs, isn't it? It's valleys and the other one, high up. When was that? Anyway. Well, anyway, when I thought about it, there's only one way I could really share with you and hopefully give to you how I've connected with God in my short time of being a Christian, and that has really changed me, changed my life and how I relate with God completely. It's really truly allowed me to connect with God, and I never want to lose sight of it for the rest of my life. It has transformed my heart and it has transformed my mind, and it is my revelation that I hopefully want to impart for you, and you can just take that with you. I feel like I used to be a postman. I used to deliver, obviously I delivered lots of mail, and I feel like this morning I'm a bit of a delivery man. And I've got a parcel for you and I'm going to give it to you. And when I deliver this parcel, I want you to receive it and don't sign for it for somebody else. I don't know if you ever sat in a sermon and thought, such and such a person really needs to hear this. This is for them. Well, actually, I think this is for you. So don't be thinking about how this would apply to somebody else. Think how it applies to you. Receive it and sign for it. Take it, open it. It's a delivery for you. So I start with Psalm 139, which I quote a lot. So if you can turn to that, that would be good. If you've got Bibles, or the heathens who haven't. That's a joke. My wife. Yeah. So one. Psalm 139, all the way to the end of verse 23. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." I could just stop there and sit down. Sermon done. Because that is it today, okay? That is what I'm saying. But we'll read a little bit more. "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I just love that. I've prayed that hundreds of times and it's transformed me. When I've asked God, who knows me? I mean, that psalm starts, God knows when I sit, he knows when I'm awake, he knows when I do this, he knows before what I'm going to say, before I even say it. He knows everything about me. And then David then prays, "God, seeing you know everything about me, search me," not like you have to find things that aren't, that you didn't know were there. He already knows. "Know my heart." He's basically giving God his heart. "Yeah, you have it. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Reveal my heart to me so I can see it, so I can see if there's any offensive way in me. Know what my anxious thoughts are. Know all about me. And from that, then lead me in the way everlasting." It's all about the heart today. I might say that one or two times. It's all about the things that are buried deep within the heart that can either help us or prevent us from drawing closer to God or have a massive influence. The things that are really going on in here is what matters. It's not always our circumstances. It's what's happening in here. See, it's interesting. There's a little section in there on verses 19 to 22. And I've kind of always skipped over that bit of the psalm. Because I've always thought, that's a bit mad, that. Why is David speaking like that? "If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent, your adversaries. They misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies." He's like, "Oh God, search my heart." I've not read any commentaries on that, but I just see that as like, he's like, that's how I feel. But God, you just show me my heart. Is that how you feel? Is that how I should be acting? Is that how I should? Is that the attitude I should have, Lord God? Show me, test me, know my anxious thoughts, reveal it to me. Then I can walk in the way everlasting. Have you ever done something that you think is godly? It might be a good thing in itself that you think is a righteous act. Or it's a noble thing, it's a just thing. But you've never really stopped to ask God what your heart is in it all. To reveal your true heart and is it. You know, sometimes it's not that hard to know how God wants you to act in a situation. God is always loving, always true, always faithful, always merciful. That doesn't change. It's our hearts sometimes and our motivations why we do things the way we do things. Let me elaborate. Why do you pray what you pray? Do you ever think about that? Why is it you're praying what you're praying? Is you praying because you just want things to be better for yourself? You just want your circumstances to be better. Why are you really praying those prayers? Why do you do what you do? It might be a good thing, but are you doing it just because you want other people to like you, other people to notice you, just to get good approval of other people? Are you looking for that recognition from other people? Are you a people pleaser? Why is it you're doing what you do, even if it's a good thing? Why do you worship? Do you come to church to worship just because it makes you feel good? Because it does, doesn't it? When you come out, you feel good. But is that the only reason that you worship God? Know my heart, God. Reveal it to me. Why am I even here? Why do I come to church on a Sunday? Oh God, show me my heart. What am I doing? What has God been saying to your heart that you're ignoring? What part of your heart has become hard that you don't want to let God into, that you don't want to deal with, you don't want to, but you'll do all the other stuff. But there's parts of your heart that God needs to, that you need to hand over to God. What are your true motives? I feel like to really connect with God, that's what we need to ask God this morning. What is God saying to your heart? What is he revealing to you? And what is he convicting you of? See, God wants us as his children. He wants to shape us. And he wants to mold us. As we know the different analogies of a potter. And a pot in his hands being molded and shaped by him. But what does he want to mold us into? Into people of character. People of faith. And people of love. Does he not? Thanks. Mike agrees. That's all I needed. Just Mike. And he wants us to do that. He wants us and needs us to place our hearts in his hands, which is not always an easy thing to do and can be scary. But it's only when we do that, when we come to God and just give him everything, because he sees everything. He knows when we wake, when we sleep, what we think, what we're going to speak. He knows it all anyway. It's only when we actually give it to him, then we can connect with him. Then he can use us on a greater level. When you pray that prayer, which I've done many times, and you're really ready to do business with whatever comes, you're really like, I'm going to do this. It's a scary thought because I've done it, and sometimes the answer isn't always what you want to hear. When you come to God, whatever pathway you go along, and you come to him and you pray that prayer, and you're ready to do it, believe me, be ready to connect with God. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, so 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Who's heard that before? That's a pretty famous, it's quoted a lot, isn't it? We know that scripture. But we like the bit at the end, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. But the very first word is an if. And it takes absolute humility to come to God this way. If my people, that's us, if we, who are called by name, did we hear that God calls us by name? I saw it was in one of those songs today. You call me by name. Will humble themselves. That means get rid of all pride. Humble yourselves. That's key to coming to God. You can't come to God any other way but humbly. And then pray and seek God's face by going down whatever spiritual pathway you want to. Repent from your sin when God reveals to your heart maybe where there's sin and things need to change. Then God will heal. God will hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. He'll show you the depths of your heart when you come to him that way. He'll show you where there's pride. And man, God's had to show me where my pride is and continually does that every day. I think those who think they've got no pride are usually the people who've got the most pride. I used to think I wasn't a proud person and I was incredibly proud. And still struggle with pride daily. But God will show you the depths of your heart. He'll show you where you've been hurt in the past, where you've just put bandages over it and you've not dealt with it. He'll show you where there's unforgiveness in your heart, where you need to forgive somebody or forgive yourself. See, I wrote all these because these are all things that God has shown me, especially over the last 5 or so years. He'll show you where your fears, for me, like fear of man and what man thinks and what people think of me. He'll show you where you've been rejected and where your fear of being rejected. He'll show you where You act in anger with things, or you're carrying anger that you've never been able to let go. Or disappointments that you've got. We talked about leaving these things in the Jordan today. God wants to reveal them to you because, and I've written loads there, because we can be so easily deceived. Do you know we can be deceived? You know the thing about being deceived is that you don't actually know you're being deceived. There's all sorts of con men out there, isn't there? And until you recognize you're being deceived, you think everything's going hunky-dory, so you're going along with it, going along with your life, because you don't know you're being deceived. It's only when someone turns the lights on, you recognize, it's actually being deceived there. You know, God cannot be deceived. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows everything. So wherever you're being deceived, you don't even know if you're being deceived, so you need to give your heart to God, and he'll show you. Open the eyes of my heart, God. Search my heart, know my ways, because you know them better than me. I don't know where I'm just plastering over those things and think I can just go on. I don't realize how those things are deceiving me and actually stopping me from drawing closer to you and drawing closer to others. Guilt, jealousy, doubt, worry, anxiety, all things God's had to deal with me and still deals with me from a time to time. Anxiety I suffered with, probably said before, real social anxiety. Aidy prayed for me, and that spiritual act that we talk about, you know, she pushed that anxiety off me, and it fell off me. I felt it. And not that I never get anxious about anything ever again, but I recognize what God did, and I don't have to be anxious anymore. I know my anxious thoughts. Okay, right, I'll give them to you. My stubbornness, I could go on for ages. My lazy spirit, it's so easy for me to be lazy. I can be lazy. I can be easy. Do you? I say that. No, I can't. It's very, very easy to be lazy, and it's a lazy spirit. It's not good. And I have to battle with that. And God showed me that. But pride doesn't want to admit that. Because it's so honorable to be a busy person and a hard worker, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I've not stopped this week. I've worked so hard. So I've been actually really lazy this week. People are going to be like, lazy guy. It's not looked on very well, is it? But that's what I'm saying, to just be really honest and put your pride aside and ask God, what sort of person do you want me to be? Who are you creating me into? What sort of character are you molding me into? And what sort of parts of my character do I need to let go of and change? Mm-hmm. Lay your heart before God. All those carnal desires, those fleshy things as well. You know, how much time we spend looking at phones is unbelievable. Is that blocking me from drawing closer to God? Is that something that isn't really doing my spirit any good? Because I'm just feeding here, and I'm feeding these ears. And what's it doing to this heart? It's just easier to do looking at the phone, looking at TV, looking at, I don't know, whatever, just different things. It could be anything for anyone. They'd be things for me and common for other people. But those things really help me draw closer to God. Is God saying, listen, I want you to put that down, put that to one side and connect with me? Because that is stopping us from connecting. Lay your heart bare, put your pride aside, because we kind of want that a little bit. We want it. But that's where our hearts are. So Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, guard your heart as well, but give it to God. Guard your heart from the things in this world, from the things that people might say, or, you know, the external things that want to come in. Guard it, but give it to God, because he's the only one who can be trusted with it anyway. See, God doesn't expose you. He doesn't expose you. When you give it to God, he doesn't say, right, Sam, here's a list of 10 things, change all them, then I'll accept you. That's not what it's about. He says, look, Sam, these things are blocking you, blocking us, because they're getting in the way, they're not right. I want to just show you something. And it's usually one thing at a time, and just the right thing at the right time, and it's just what you need to hear at that time, and then it may be something else in a different season or whatever. It might be, I just want you to rest. Stop. Just stop. I want you to rest with me for a little bit. Not necessarily all these negative things of hurt and sin and guilt and whatnot. It might be just something really simple, a season that he wants you to go through that we might just be stepping into today, or one that's coming to an end. But just what is God wanting to say to you? But you can only hear that when you really give your heart to him. Guard your heart. See, we can boldly approach the throne of grace, can't we? It says boldly approach the throne of grace. That's not brashly. I don't think that's brashly swagger up with a bit of arrogance. Like, I think that's boldly because I can, because I am a child of God because I have been covered with the blood of the living God, Jesus. I am made righteous. I am his child, so I can come into that throne room. But when I go into that throne room, oh, that's God I'm coming to, you know? And I will, and I do end up on my knees, on my face when I boldly come to the throne. And what God doesn't do then is stand and go, you need to change your heart. Boy, he'll pick me up because he's the good father, isn't he? He's the giver of all good gifts. And he'll sit me on his knee and say, oh, I love you, Sam, my child. I love you. And I'm like, whoa, you're God and you love me. And that's just amazing. And he says, listen, Sam, you know that pride in your heart where you want approval of man all the time? You don't need that. I approve of you and I accept you. And I can then say in my life, I don't need everybody's approval. I just got God. And that's how he does things with us. But it's only when we come to the throne room and just give him our heart. We don't have to knock on the door. Gonna come in. Gonna come in, you know, because I've got all these things wrong with me. We just walk up to him and he does it. So ask God genuinely and sincerely, what influences your thoughts and your actions on a daily basis? What's really going on in here? Guard your hearts, but give them to Christ. Psalm 51, verse 16 says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings and all these good things that you can do, all these righteous things. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. Humility. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. That's the sort of heart that God can start to deal with then, a pliable heart that he can mold and he can shape, not a hard heart who thinks they've got it all sorted and do loads of religious things and good things and we do them and they're all good things, street pastors and healing on the streets and, you know, leading the church and whatever, all good things. But without a soft and a pliable and a humble and a broken heart before God always and given to him, that's that offering that God can use and do something with that has anything of meaning and worth. Everything we do, including these pathways, without a heart and mind that humbly longs to seek God and seek God's face and his holiness, are pointless. The Pharisees were the opposite to that. They did all, I think the Pharisees probably thought they were all of them and did them all on a daily basis, but they had so much pride because they thought it was in those acts, in those things that they did, that's what brought them closer to God. That's what made them righteous. They were storing up their own righteousness for themselves. See, God says, oh, good deeds are like filthy rags. That's really because what he means by that is if you're doing it all because you think it's going to be good and go good in your favor and good in your name, that's not the heart God wants. Still do all those good things. But ask God where your heart is in it. You know, ask God, why am I preaching this morning? Ask God that. I just want to ask him in everything. Why am I preaching this morning? Because I get really nervous. I do still get nervous before I speak. Once I get going, I'm fine. I get quite stressed out in the week. Not spent enough time on my sermon. You know, and am I doing it for some sort of position or recognition? Hope not. No, but I'm doing it because God called me to do it. That's it, really. There are those who will cry, Lord, Lord, and he will reply, depart from me, I do not know you. Don't like those scriptures, do we? There's some hard scriptures in the Bible that we need to look at and not run away from. They're people who've done signs and wonders, miracles and whatnot. Is that what God's after? I had to ask myself that as well. Am I on healing on the streets because I just want to see a miracle and I want a testimony and I want to stand up here and say, I pray for someone and they were healed? Aren't I good? Aren't I holy? No, God wants my heart. He wants your heart. And he just wants it laid bare before him. Because if you notice when those that come to God with other things in the heart in the Bible always go away disappointed. If you come away from God disappointed, Is that because God is disappointing? He's not disappointing. It's usually because whatever it was that was going in your heart didn't get fulfilled. It didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And Sarah was saying, didn't get the answer that I wanted there, God. You've let me down. We're done. Or whatever, you know. I'm not happy with you. If you look at Luke 9 at 56, it talks about the cost of following Christ and what it takes to follow Christ. Foxes have dens, but I have nowhere to lay my head. What's the rest of it? I haven't written it down. Let's have a little looky, because there's some bits in that I might look at. Oh, yeah, I mean, he's harsh, isn't he? It seems. Let me go and bury my father. Let the dead bury their own dead, Jesus said. Shady. Another said, I'll follow you, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And you know what it does, and what's that? No one puts a hand to the plow and looks back as fit for service to the kingdom of God. It's, where's your heart in all these things? I'll follow you, God. No problem. But I just need to do these things first, and then I'll get on it, and then I'll follow you. I've just got a few things I need to sort out myself, and then we'll have some time together. You know, God's saying, put me first, seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be given to you as well. When he's talking about don't worry, that's in that chapter, isn't it? Matthew 20 odd. Five, I guess. Where am I? Jesus says loads of stuff. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will keep it. And the rich young ruler, there's loads of examples. The rich young ruler couldn't follow God. He'd followed all the commandments, which are pretty standard. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, you know, don't lie. They're pretty basic rules we should keep anyway. Keep the Sabbath. But his money was where his heart was. He couldn't give it up. And God, Jesus knew that. And he's putting his finger on it. And he had a choice there. And he couldn't do it. The cost of following Christ. Ask God some hard questions. I think it's good to ask God a hard question. What is going on in my heart? That's a hard question to be really honest with. What's going on, God? Show me. I want to know. And I sometimes do it with a little bit of trepidation because it means I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to change something. I'm going to have to deal with it. Like when you first gave your life to Jesus, how did you come? You came humble. You have to come humble. You can't give your life to Jesus not humble. And you have to recognize, you're God. I'm a man of weak. I'm a sinner. And I need you. So I've got that humility. I need you, God. Often we're desperate, but we're on our knees, maybe not physically, but in our hearts spiritually, and we're thirsty for him, and we're thirsty for the Holy Spirit to come and live in my life and take over. I want to follow you all my days. It's the sort of thing we've prayed, isn't it? Forgive me. Needing his forgiveness. When you approach Jesus today, what's changed? Yeah, we've changed because God's redeemed us and we're saved and we're covered by his blood. And we're children of God and we're seated in heaven. But what's changed in our hearts when we come towards God? Do we not come humbly anymore? Do we not need him as much? Are we not as desperate as we were then? Because we're saved now, so we don't need him as much today. I don't need to spend time with him every day because I'm saved now. So I can do a little bit by myself because I've got that bit. I just need to get through the rest. It's not changed. Remember how you came to God that first time? Dave prayed me into salvation. Thanks, Dave. We cried, didn't we? It was amazing. I said that. If you pray David's prayer this morning, Psalm 139, 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting, because that's where I want to go. Yeah. The way everlasting, or where you're going, but I want to go in the way everlasting, that way. It's over there. Yeah. Is that scam that way? I think it is, isn't it? It's there! We're going scam. Anyway, it's prophecy. 1 Chronicles 22:19. You got the gist of what I'm saying yet? Now devote, 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God. This is a prophecy for us. So that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. Oh, I mean, I've read that a few times, so I'll read it again for you. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. Devote your heart and soul in seeking the Lord. This is what we're doing. You know, it's no coincidence. Andy didn't just think, yeah, what should we do next? Let's do spiritual pathways. Yeah, what should we do before that? Awe and wonder of God. What should we do? It's not just we're just coasting through. Andy seeks God, seeks the Holy Spirit. And this is the direction that God is taking us. You know, it's purposeful. It's followed by God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how God does everything and works it all out through his speakers and through the church and what he says to people. And God is saying to us, devote your heart and soul to seeking me and seeking my face. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord. Am I building a sanctuary for the Lord in my life, in my home? A sanctuary, a space where the Lord can habitat in my life. And we talk about that prophecy where we want to be a people where God can habitat, where we need to make a space and a sanctuary in our lives where God we can commune with God and where he can habitat in our lives. So that, put this into present day, you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Bring the Ark. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? It's the presence of God. So bring in the presence of God by building a sanctuary for the Lord. So you can bring in the presence of God into your life wherever you go. Carry that ark around you. You know, the somethingites, who was it? Captured the Ark of the Covenant and they thought they had, who was it? The Philistines. It wasn't anyites, was it? It was the Philistines. Could do an Aussie then. What are they all called? I won't. Someone used to come to our church. They thought they'd captured God and captured his presence. That's what the Ark of the Covenant represented. More fool them. But I'm saying, begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord so that you can bring God's presence into this sanctuary. And the sacred articles belonging to God. Now, I see that as God's gifts, God's good things, the joy, the peace that he promises. My peace I give. I do not give as others give. I give my peace I give to you. That's a promise. God gives us that. All the gifts of the Spirit. The sacred articles. Whether I'm right or wrong, but that's still true. The sacred articles belonging to God. He wants us to bring that in. Into the temple. In today's talk. What's the temple? This is the temple. My body is a temple. That will be built. We will be built up. We will be shaped into character, into people of faith and love. Why? The very end. For the name of the Lord. We are. Why God chooses to do it that way, I don't know. But we are made to bring glory to God. Isn't that amazing? But we have to do the other bits first. I've just said. So read that yourself. In 1 Chronicles 22. It's a refining thing that you refining fire. Are you prepared to walk through the river refining fire? Sorry, Dave. Am I being renewed day by day? The second, let's go. We're getting there. 2 Chronicles, nearly past the intro. Second Chronicles 16, a bit further ahead. Another book later. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. I do. It's not like God can't find anyone. You know, it's like, oh, I've just been looking for ages trying to, but it's just like his attitude. I can't see anyone. They're all hiding. But it's like he's just looking for our hearts. And he wants to strengthen those that are fully committed to him. So whatever God puts his finger on in your life, in your heart, he will give you the strength to see it through, whatever it is. Oh, no matter how hard it is, if you give him your heart and you trust in him, something we were singing about trusting today, if you give it to him and you trust in him, he said, I will strengthen your heart to do it. I won't just take the circumstances away. That's not always the way that he does things. But I will walk with you through it. I am your good shepherd, my rod and my staff. They'll comfort you and we'll walk through it. And we might lay down in some green pastures and that might be nice. But sometimes you need to get up. Come on, you're growing roots there. Let's go. We need to move on to the next place. I don't know where you're at. But you know what? God is already planning your victory. That's God, isn't it? He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what. He knew what the Israelites were going to do. He knows what everybody's going to do. The start of that psalm, he knows everything. But he's planning. He's already got the plan. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Do we believe Romans 8:28 that we quote all the time? God works all things for our good. He's working it out for our good. There's a reason you're going through it, through what you're going through. Oh, stiff as a board. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you because you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Back in 1 Chronicles, we are nearly there. First Chronicles 28 says, and you, my son Solomon, that's David, isn't it, talking to his son, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly, with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found. See, just one another point. Unless we pray like this, these sort of prayers and offering our hearts to God in this way, our pathway and our walk with God becomes all about us. God just becomes a tool to help you get through life. Just because that's what he becomes. I worship because he makes me feel good. I pray because I feel a bit better. God might sort my problems out. And he does do that. And they are consequences of being with God. But our relationship with God will just be all about us feeling better with a problem-free life. Is that what God... I don't see that in Christianity. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see... just Christians with problem-free lives. I want to be a Christian because they just don't have any trouble because God answers all the prayers and takes all the problems away. I mean, look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Take these dross things away. That's okay to pray those things, isn't it? But what comes next is more important. But not as I will, but as you will. The message says, my Father, if there's any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want, you, what you want. And three times Jesus prays that. I don't think I've ever recognized that before. I don't know if I've just overlooked it. And it just stood out to me. Three times again in verse 42 and in verse 44, he goes back and pleads, God, take this away. It's okay to say that. But at the end of it, we come, okay, God, this isn't going away. So what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to behave? Because you obviously want me to walk through this valley. You want me to go through this. So what are you doing in me? God's more interested in what he wants to do in you than just taking that away. When things get hard, do you get into God's presence? Or only when things are good? Or vice versa? When things get hard, do you tend to ignore God? And it's only when things are good you're singing and waving your hands. Are we consistent people of character? Because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. You are the same. It's us that change, and our circumstances change. But God is in control. If every time we face a problem, we cry, Lord, take this away, and we moan and complain, and then we just go about our normal everyday lives, I believe it's us who have a problem. When trouble comes, we can pray, Lord, take this away. But ask him what he's doing in a situation. God's not just after making a problem-free people. You know, I read James 4, and it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. For the testing of your faith brings perseverance and be able to see the faith through to the end. And it makes us people of character. God wants to do something through your trials. He actually wants to strengthen you through it. He wants to bring you forward. In fact, without those trials, I believe, we would just wane and fade and become complacent. And it would just be all too, easy. We wouldn't have to rely on God. God wants to reveal himself to us and who he is and how faithful he is by walking us through those things. And afterwards, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? We can see, and then we can sing, God, you are good. You know, Paul and Silas had that. I've just thought about that so much since Andy preached it a good while ago. Of Paul and Silas in prison, worshipping and praying, when they're probably up to their ankles in their own poo. You know, but they were just worshipping and praying God. And, you know, consequences for that, they get out of prison. But you only sing when you're winning. You know that football song? That's what, like, opponents say to the other team, isn't it? You only sing when you're winning. A sign of a true faith-filled spiritual warrior. That's a mouthful, isn't it? A sign of a true faith-filled spiritual warrior is someone who, worships, praise, give thanks, even when their poo hits the fan. And as many here could testify to that, and there's people I see here who are like that, only because there's possibly more, but I know of people who've gone through and go through hard times, but they don't always just sing when they're winning, when it's all going well. Because are you going through something tough? Well, get ready, because God is preparing you for something bigger. I have experienced that. What is blocking you from drawing near to God? I don't know. It's 1 Psalm 3:9. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I just encourage you to go and pray that prayer yourself and ask God, what's blocking us? I want to draw closer to you, Lord God. I want to be a person of faith, a character of love, and I just want you to deal with what's going on in here. And then be really prepared to do business and do with it. And you can trust God that he'll walk you through it. Amen.